This week on the Koshcast, a herd of actual caribou would have given Manchester City a tougher test in the Carabao Cup final. In the Premier League, Lingard and United's resilience outdo Willian's brilliance, and it's a walk in the park against West Ham for Liverpool, although obviously not alone, because you'll never do that. There's news from Italy where Milan beat Roma thanks to Cutrone, and Juve against Atalanta is postponed, and Spain where Griezmann gets a hat-trick, and Diego Costa makes a face like a total, well, it was slapstick. We'll go with slapstick. All this, Moo Moo of the Week, and a cheeky quiz. Have a nibble. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com and at under_thekosh on Twitter. My name is Alex, we've got a full house. Mohamed is here.
Hello everyone.
Bernie is here. and apparently unwell. And Roche is here.
It's really hard when you put them on the spot.
What spot? I'm just saying you're here.
Sorry.
It's really fast.
I want to say I was here, but I realized Full House was a terrible show.
That's fair.
Full House, the little girl was really cute. Like with the pigtails and stuff, she made all the jokes.
This is right? Not the environment in which to say that.
I have never watched this show.
Nor have I. Mohamed, you look older.
Do I?
Yeah, why is that?
I just turned 23. Anyways, that's what my birthday
29. What's the rest of that song?
I don't know.
Yeah. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you. Yeah, no, had a great time. We all hung out, and you guys got me. I'll post it later on Twitter for like my gazillion followers. You bought me that. It's a very cool. It has a name.
Some type of chart. I don't know.
It's a chart that circular chart that kind of lays out the whole invincible season for Arsenal, and it shows the scores and the starting lineup and the, you know, a little snippet about each game, and I'm going to frame it, and it's
kind of sad we gave it to you after. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, at any point it was going to be sad.
The best part about this chart is that it has so much information in such a simple chart. It's on a, you know, straight piece of paper.
It's crisp.
And we haven't even understood all the stats that are on there yet. So yeah, there's plenty of good stuff.
That is spoken like a man who loves a chart.
He loves it, sir. The only negative thing is that, you know, I'm going to have to spend like $40 to frame it. So
well,
thanks for that, lads.
You know.
That's the hidden present, you know?
Yes.
Exactly. Always knows how to complain.
It's all about the destination.
You don't have to frame it. Put it in a cupboard. Do what you like.
True.
You
know? I could. I'll put it in a cupboard until Wenger leaves. And then I'll take it out.
Did you frame your degree?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. But it came framed.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Mine didn't.
What?
Ripped off.
Right after. No, well, you pay
unbelievable.
For it. You pay for it.
Oh, well, then, yeah, that makes sense. Right, should we talk about football?
Yep.
Where else to start? But the Carabao Cup final.
Yeah, the biggest tournament in England this season. Arsenal made it to the final, which, you know, was fantastic.
City, achievement.
Yeah, no, great achievement, obviously, very good.
The trophy beating, never won. Well, beating, Arsene Wenger never won.
Arsene Wenger's never won it, beating Chelsea in the semi-final over
so
two legs.
So a lot on the line, a lot of passion to be shown.
Yeah, just tons of people in the stadium, I mean, up to a certain point. And City made it, obviously, because they're the best team in the land. And, you know, City were favorites going into the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the memes leading up to this game were that Guardiola had given the City squad the day off, or the week off, before this match.
Yeah, so rest, lads.
And it was surprisingly accurate, but I do want to say that, you know, with the, you know, how this game unfolded, Arsenal are a cup team. That's where they invest their time these days.
Yeah,
and when they didn't even show up in the final, which is sad to see.
Well, Guardiola gave his team a week off before the game. I think Arsene Wenger gave them the day off of the game.
Absolutely, but you know what? City actually played like a team who hadn't played in a week.
No,
they weren't even good. They didn't even need to be.
They weren't. They weren't like on a different planet. They weren't like blowing Arsenal out of the water. Their first two goals were two set pieces: a goal kick and a corner kick.
And that's what infuriates, I'm sure, a lot of Arsenal fans, because as you guys rightly said, I looked at City and thought in this game, that was a little ordinary.
Yeah.
You know, and to win 3-0 and be ordinary, they've had 1-0 scrapes where I thought they were fantastic.
You feel the opposition has something to do with
that? Possibly.
Well, the thing is, with this game, like, you expect City to win. You expect them to win. But what it is, you know how we say they weren't unbelievable?
Mm-hmm.
But they were consistent over 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They were at a level good enough over 90 minutes to win a game. Mm-hmm. They don't go through these peaks and troughs of, oh my god, great 10 minutes, and then a horrendous 10 minutes where you can see two over and over, which is what Arsenal tend to do. They just cruise that like 80% all game, and that was enough to win the game.
To be honest, 80 is generous.
Yeah,
they didn't get out of second gear. But, okay, so here's a question. Does Ederson have an assist this season? I feel like he must.
He must.
I don't think so.
First. Bravo played.
Sorry, it was Bravo. No,
Bravo played, but yeah. So my question is, would this be the first team to have two keepers with an assist if Ederson also has one?
Surely.
You think, right?
We're assuming that Ederson has kicked the ball. Yeah. I mean, he has probably the best kick in the game, but that it evaded the central defender and went to Agüero or Jesus just like it happened today.
How many times does Ederson get to play against Mustafi?
Only once.
On that, I mean, when there are embarrassments in the game, and Gary Neville, as we've all heard, went in on Arsenal, but I think that was rightfully so, because what Mustafi did for that goal, firstly, it's never a foul. He got it was like people are jostling for position, and I've seen strikers push defenders in the back, but this was lit. This was a nudge. It wouldn't even take a small guy like Kante down.
I don't understand anything about what Mustafi did. In this goal. For a start, like, when the kick is taken, he's 5 yards in front of Agüero, which makes absolutely no sense on any level. The other central defenders are marking no one and also not covering him, so that's genius. And then he gets a little nudge and pretends it's a foul and stands there and doesn't even chase back. There's nothing remotely explicable about what happened for that goal.
To Bravo's credit, when I watched the replay, he took the goal kick so quickly. It was everybody, Arsenal, I think, had a corner kick and they were all jogging back. And Bravo intentionally played it so fast. I don't know, you know, people make up stuff, but I don't know if maybe that is something they did point out. Arsenal players are slow to get back from a corner kick or whatever it may be. But
he or just played, generally lack yeah, any kind of focus.
Yeah, I mean, well, to get the shot on Ramsey. And maybe they realize, and you know, Pep is so meticulous, and you read it in his books and you see it in the way he is, and I don't put it past him that he just said, you know what?
I wouldn't
play the goal kick quickly.
I wouldn't put it past him either. I agree with you. My thing is, Pep can be as genius as he wants to in recognizing that situation, but Mustafi, you can't plan for Mustafi doing that.
Right.
That's what I cannot comprehend.
And to be honest, you know, as horrendous as Arsenal turned out to be, the first 20 minutes before, I think they scored an 18 or something, the first 15 minutes, they were actually quite good. They created a couple chances. They definitely should have scored. And City weren't a threat until that point.
Should have scored.
Yes, Aubameyang had a good chance before City's first goal. But that is Arsenal's every game and a season and decade in a nutshell. You always start off well. And then all Arsenal need to do is concede that first goal.
Yeah.
Once that goes in, game over. Midweek, they lost to Östersund. I don't even know their name. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. They lost to them in the Europa League 2-0. Can you imagine if that first game was only 2? And Östersund are now, we're in injury, in extra time playing versus this. I mean, it's insane that.
So you haven't shown up for a week?
We haven't showed up for a season. I mean, our season right now, we're going to play Milan in the Europa League.
And get smashed.
Yes. And then what? What do we do from March 15th till end of May? What do we do?
Replace your manager?
Spring break.
Yeah, spring break.
Are you guys also out of the FA Cup?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
Nottingham Forest, I think.
Nottingham Forest. Third round. I mean, we lost to Nottingham Forest, Östersund, Watford, West. Like, it's just, we've lost 6 times in 2018 already. It's a month and a half in.
It's a shambles. On the other side of this, you know, we have to praise Man City. Obviously, like, if we're praising them by saying they were in second gear and they still won the game. That in itself is praise.
Jumped on.
But I was surprised Vincent Kompany came back into this and played amazingly. And maybe that's also relative because he didn't have to do anything because Aubameyang never got the ball. I don't know who he was defending.
But he beat Aubameyang in a foot race.
Yeah, once.
Yes.
Oh, he did. Yeah.
I couldn't believe my eyes. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
But here's the question. This is what this leads to. If he beats Aubameyang in a foot race, it's never a matter of him being faster than Aubameyang. That's not possible.
Right.
It's application and determination.
Strength, the line that they're running to the ball line. Exactly. So much.
And that's what Gary Neville was highlighting is, if you look at City, for me, Pep Guardiola is such an intense manager. I mean, we saw him basically trying to assault the Wigan manager when they lost the FA Cup. He's one of these Klopps, Contes, Mourinho, down on that a bit, of these intense guys who try and get a reaction out of their team. And the players play like that. And when I look at Arsenal, I go, I never see any intensity from Arsene Wenger unless he's trying to get his zipper up and down and he can't do it.
Well, the manager that was 3-0 up was standing on this touchline yelling at players on what to do and how to apply themselves, while Arsene Wenger didn't make a change until it was 3-0 down. I mean, it was 1-0 down. Everyone's like, all right, do something. Change it. It's the second half. Let's see anything different. Let's, you know, something. And then he did nothing. We conceded the second. And then while Welbeck was warming up, he conceded the third.
Yeah.
It was just...
You know what was really uncomfortable is that on the stream we were watching, because this was not on Canadian television, the commentator was some Scottish bloke and another Scottish bloke, Craig Burley. So yeah. We actually know who that is. And he's a complete prat. Oh, right? Yeah. But it was really disturbing to have to agree with him, because in the second half he was like, right, has Arsene Wenger changed anything? No. He should probably change something. And, yeah. You know, you're at 60 minutes. Has he changed it? No. He should probably change something. Like, this isn't working. And you're just like, why am I having to sit here agreeing with Craig Burley?
The second goal, Arsenal conceded, came again. Mustafi didn't have a good day. I mean, I don't know when he does, but he conceded a free kick on the edge of the box for no reason. One of those stupid things he does where he just barges into the back of someone and then pretends like he didn't do anything. They got a free kick, crossed it in, got a corner, and then from the corner kick, De Bruyne literally passed it halfway across the field to Gundogan. He passed it from the corner flag to the tip of the 18-yard box. A slow, easy roll pass. There was no one around.
That was hilarious.
And then he kicked it in and company, you know, he did really
well. That pass is actually a Guardiola special. I've seen Guardiola teams make that pass, that set piece play, a lot of times.
If someone's there, it shouldn't be.
You can only do it if someone lets you, basically.
But on Mustafi, and I was listening to, I think it was a Guardian, and they said, Mustafi is a German international. He's played for a German national team in big tournaments and looked, let me just say, good, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Is it that he is that bad, or is it that Arsene Wenger makes everything worse?
Okay, so this is the problem that we're facing now.
Touch up. Xhaka is a similar kind of problem, right?
No, this is the problem that we're facing now, is that it's basically impossible to tell where a player's failings start and the club's failings end. The line is completely blurred between what is a systemic failure and what is an individual failure. Apart from when someone like Mustafi does something like that for that first goal, you can say that is an individual error, right? Mm-hmm. That's very obvious. But the form, someone like Hector Bellerin comes into the team the first couple of years, he's really good, he's really promising, and then he gets Arsenalized. Mm-hmm. Someone like Callum Chambers comes in, very promising defender, everyone rates him in the country, comes into Arsenal, looks good for 10 minutes, gets Arsenalized.
Rob Holding looked great at the start.
He did.
Maitland-Niles.
Iwobi, when he came into the team, fresh, great.
Okay, here's
inventive.
A question. Why is Lucas Perez on loan when Welbeck is still on the some of the decisions are just bizarre.
Once you start getting into Lucas Perez, it's basically inception. You can't go that far. There's point.
So let's do this. We'll praise Pep Guardiola because last season was rough for him. Let's call the spade a spade.
Sure.
Coming third, he said it himself, he would have been sacked at a big club, though I don't think his translation or whatever, his English isn't great. He didn't mean to say it like that. It was a rough season, and he actually admitted that in his post-match, where he said, thank the club for standing by me, because that season was difficult, which it really, really was.
Well, he was playing with two Arsene Wenger fullbacks.
Yeah.
This is also true. But people will say winning the League Cup is not a big deal. You still have to win it. Going unbeaten or throughout this whole thing and winning it, it's still a difficult thing to do. So we have to give Pep Guardiola all the credit in the world for winning this.
I think it's such a shame. I think it's a shame that he lost to Wigan in the FA Cup. I truly believe it. I would have enjoyed it if he had done the domestic treble. The Champions League is a whole different. Obviously, you guys, United fans, a different story. But I thought, just from the way he's playing, the way he has this team playing, it's one of the best teams we've seen in the Premier League, up there with some of those great teams. And, you know, it's about consistency. He should do it for 2 or 3 years. But I think it would have been really nice. I would have loved to see him win a domestic treble after all his kind of the pressure he was on last year. And I think he kind of deserves it. He's doing it the right way. Obviously, he's spending a lot of money, but everyone spends money. And I just feel like he's doing it the right way. He's playing the football that they are entertaining to watch.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I enjoy watching them. And it's hard to hate City as much as, let's say, at Chelsea or at Tottenham or United or Liverpool for me.
I don't know really anyone, apart from United fans, because you're obligated, that actually hates City. I mean, the money is something, and I think there are legitimate concerns about where that money comes from.
It comes with your membership.
Yeah.
Hating City and Liverpool.
Right.
It used to be hating Arsenal, but that's no longer the case.
No, what I will say about City is I actually did a statistical breakdown of their previous season results, and they have 20. So after 27 games, they have 72 points. United and Fergie's last season had 71 points from 28 games.
Right.
Not too far off the pace. So it's not like they're doing something that's never been seen before in history.
No.
But they're bringing a new style of football.
What Fergie season was this?
The last one where he retired.
Was that Van Persie one?
Yes.
That's actually more impressive on the United side than anything else.
On that point. So it's not like they're bringing something that's never been seen before, but the way they play is so systematic. It's so computerized, almost. It takes out the human element.
I wonder if you look at goals scored and goals conceded. Also, you have to keep in mind the level of the competition around you. This is probably the toughest last season and this season is as tough as the league has been. City are making it look easy.
Yeah.
But it's not easy because everyone is equally almost as bad. It's just City really stand out.
On that point, are they on course to break a Premier League scoring record?
I don't know.
I have no idea because I know the record is Ancelotti's Chelsea.
103, I think that was.
And no one talks. And this is not about what. No one just talks about that team as if they did any miracles or anything.
But I think it's literally the 90 minutes.
I agree. Yeah. The way it's being played is fantastic. But is it really? I don't know. I'm just saying, if you look, is it because the quality of the Premier League has been trash over the last 5 years?
Right.
That now this stands out, or only time will tell, I guess.
It's just recent memory. Like everything that is more recent, you remember it more fondly. And then the opposite when it gets really far away. But in that kind of 3-4 years ago, you're like, yeah, whatever, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So,
the last thing on this game, because we probably won't talk about Arsenal after this, is as Alex pointed out before the podcast, Arsenal leaked what, Alex?
Yeah, basically it seems we're recording this on Monday night. It seems that the club have briefed the press about some potential names for a replacement for Arsene Wenger. Now, this could be names they're actually interested in. This could be just a way of saying we're on it,
mm-hmm.
right? But not giving up the actual name of the person that they want. But, excuse me, the Mirror, the Telegraph, and the Mail, and I think a couple of others, basically have a list of Leonardo Jardim, Joachim Löw, Brendan Rodgers, Mikel Arteta.
Take it with a pinch of salt because this is what Arsenal do. Literally after every major defeat or major setback, a lead to the press of some sort of a big signing or of something like this. It's literally happens.
Or a new sponsorship.
Something happens every season where it's always leaked about something just to kind of get attention elsewhere or to kind of quell the... I mean, look, Arsene Wenger might leave at the end of the season. I hope so.
No, he's not.
But he's not going to be here more than a year.
It's
either this half a season or a season and a half at best. So either way, it's almost over.
I just think if you're going to leak a list of names, don't leak a list of names that has Brendan Rodgers on it. I don't care how stable he was or whatever. I don't care. Arsenal fans, I know you want change. I know you don't care. You'd rather have a monkey running Arsenal over Arsene Wenger.
Literally.
But Brendan Rodgers is not the name that you put on a list that's going to inspire fans to think that you're doing anything useful as a team.
No, but this is the point. As you said, we don't care.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't care who's on the list. The list of names could be names I've never heard of.
Yes.
It could be...
I just like the list.
Yeah. It could be John Smith. I don't care.
No. Yeah.
Just but it's not Brendan Rodgers that's there to be worried about. It's Mikel Arteta, who's never had a first-team job.
Yep.
Yeah. But again, they don't care.
You don't appreciate how much...
He's not even a club legend.
They don't care.
You don't appreciate how much we are thirsty for change. At this point, it doesn't matter what the change is. It literally doesn't even matter if it's positive or negative.
Yeah.
It's just... change.
You won't take David Moyes though.
I will do anything at this point.
Because they know it lasts only a year.
I would genuinely enjoy a relegation battle. It would be more interesting than this. The analogy that occurred to me is that, like, a lot of people, you see them that work in retail, they complain that the music gets replayed over and over and over and over again. And at that point, you will take anything, even music that you actually hate.
You'll take Christmas music.
Yeah, as long as it's not the same record you've been listening to for the last 18 hours, you'll take anything.
Yeah, try 12 years.
Yeah.
Anyways, whatever. We've talked about this. The club are now equipped. They've made some changes on the back end to make us believe that they are getting ready for this change. So let's hope they follow through.
You know who else wants change?
Bernie wants change.
Bernie... sitting over there all smug.
Yes, we can.
Hates Jose Mourinho and would like a different manager. So let's talk about Man United, who somehow beat Chelsea 2-1. Well, I didn't think that would happen, to be honest.
Neither did any United fan in the world.
Yes.
No one thought this would happen.
The game started off by, Willian playing brilliantly again.
It seemed fairly even to begin with, and then a moment of brilliance from Willian. What?
I want Bernie to go first over here with his assessment of the game.
I thought Chelsea dominated the first half hour of this game. I don't think it was even in any stretch. I thought United
trying to be kind to you here.
Don't worry, I got this.
All right.
Like I just didn't feel United were up for the fight at all at Old Trafford, which didn't make sense to me.
Right.
And I've noticed that there's a trend, and the problem is every single time that Jose Mourinho decides to park the bus, the next game, the team cannot get out of this bus parking mentality.
Yeah.
Against Liverpool, they parked the bus, lost to Huddersfield. Sevilla parked the bus, you play like that shambles of a first half. Luckily, thank God, Romelu Lukaku got his act together and scored a goal, thanks to some good play from Martial. and that who shall not be named, Alexis Sanchez, but I named him anyway. But the second half was brilliant. The first half, I was not a fan.
The first half, you're right, because I remember the first, I think, 25 minutes or so, me seeing how Chelsea were playing and then looking kind of up at the score thing on the corner of the screen and realizing, obviously I kind of knew, but realizing this was at Old Trafford. You know, it's one of those moments like, wait, what? Oh, wow. Like, it was like, oh, yeah. This just felt like Chelsea were at Stamford Bridge or dominating the play. Willian, again, has just... He's had an unbelievable month in the Champions League. I think it was Champions League midweek or what
he
was
hit
it?
He hit the post twice.
Yeah. And then he scored.
I think he has 5 and 4.
He has a few goals. And I even made the comment that I had him in my fantasy team at the start of the season.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He didn't do anything. And I removed him. And now he's doing great.
It's all because of you.
Yeah. It's me.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's not a stats guy. He's not really made for fantasy. But he looks good on the field.
It's actually not even his fault though. Because like he was brilliant last season. And for most of this season, he just got dropped because Conte's been doing the Cesc plus Bakayoko plus Kante thing, which means he can't fit everyone in.
Did Bakayoko get dropped? Because I know Drinkwater started.
On his head at some point?
Yeah,
I don't know if he... Yeah. I think he's injured.
I don't know. I think it was a really good decision. I mean, obviously the game didn't go as planned, but at the start, Drinkwater was playing a really good game for the first half.
As he does.
I mean, as most of Chelsea were. He actually had quite a good game with Kante.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he's not a bad player. And
I do think... Chelsea looked like a team that knew what they were trying to do in the first half. And United, again, ever since Alexis Sanchez came into this team, they don't know what they're doing.
Give me a stat.
You know, let me jump in right there.
Sure.
Bernie's made that point, like, you know, ever since Sanchez came to the team. But I actually saw a similar performance
that United made
against Newcastle earlier in the season where they went a goal down at home. And then they grew as the game went on, almost like the other team ran out of steam.
But put it into its proper context, in that United won that game 4-1. And then the fact is, before Alexis Sanchez got to Manchester United, you could see Lingard, Martial, Lukaku, Pogba, Mata, they all had an understanding. Most of them have played together for a while, and obviously the Pogba-Lukaku thing. Manchester United were beating teams, as mundane as sometimes performances were, 4-0, 4-1, 4-0. That's why they were called 4-0 FC. You can't tell me that since Alexis Sanchez came into the team, that they perform better as an attacking unit. That's not possible.
Yeah. Now it's Piano FC.
And statistically, by the way, United have had 6 less shots per game since Alexis Sanchez came. If you take the last...
Well, yeah, because Sanchez holds on to the ball.
Yeah, like I'm using the last 4 games and the 4 games before that. United had 6 more shots on average per game.
That included the Sevilla game.
Only Premier League games. Only Premier League games.
But Mahalo makes a good point. Like, there's literally less time for you to have shots because Sanchez sticks around with it for so long.
And this is my problem.
Yeah.
The other guys knew when to do a 1-2, knew when to put themselves in good positions. He doesn't even know what he's doing on the pitch. He's looking at Mourinho. Do you see that? He looks over twice at Mourinho like he doesn't know what he's doing. And I don't know if it's his fault or Mourinho's.
Well, to be fair, United are a sucker for like a shiny new transfer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, regardless of whether it fits or not, it's like, it's almost like almost always reminding people of how big of a club they are and go, sit, look at that sign. But did you need it?
No, they did not need it. No.
Number 7. You know, what I'm disappointed at in this game is, and I like the result, 2-1 against Chelsea, big for the title race. Big win over Chelsea.
Big for the title race.
The title race for second place. But I just hate that I enjoyed the result and I like Mourinho just for this week.
Right.
Because I'm with Bernie and I want a new manager.
You want a new manager?
But he's won this game and I just feel like...
Would you take Brendan Rodgers?
No!
No.
Also, legally, we're not allowed to as he manages.
That's fair.
But also, I would be remiss. Romelu Lukaku was fantastic
in this game.
He was fantastic. He doesn't have a first touch. Who gives a shit? Like, honestly, Lukaku... In this game, the way he used his strength and power, I've not seen him do that against a big team before.
You're talking about where he pushed it and just ran past like 3 people?
That's one thing. That's fine, whatever. But even to score the first goal, he had to muscle the guy out the way and then get back into position. The cross for Lingard, by the way, he's a striker in Premier League with the most assists.
Mm.
The striker with the most assists. And half of them have been crosses just like that. And someone tweeted, he crosses the way he wants to be crossed too.
Yeah, that's possibly true.
He's been great. He actually has.
Lukaku, it's not about him being a horrendous footballer. It's never been about that. It's just always been about United could do better. That's all. No one's saying he's horrendous. Like, surely, obviously, once in a while, he'll have a great game and he'll play well. Or even more than once in a while. But it's just I'm just saying there is an upgrade to be had.
Sure.
But where is Ibra? But let me ask this question.
He's being a lion in the jungle. No,
oh, yeah, right. Let me ask this question.
Because I remember we've had a discussion about this where people said, oh, you know, this or that. And I remember saying you could bring Lionel Messi into Man United and it wouldn't make a difference.
I beg to differ.
Oh, I mean, that would make a difference. Yeah. Yes, that was hyperbole. Yeah. But if you bring a Harry Kane to the side,
right,
the way that Jose sets him up, it would not make a difference. I guarantee
you. I struggle to believe that, too.
It just wouldn't. Because they don't play enough forward balls. Harry Kane, as good as he is still a service striker. If you don't give him the ball,
he creates a lot of chances for himself.
He does, but he's in the box.
His movement.
He doesn't score as many goals inside the box as people would suggest. He's in the box, which means he has to get the ball, which means the team has to play some tip-tap to get into
him. What Bernie's trying to say is that the incremental increase wouldn't be as much as a difference between the ability of Lukaku.
No, I understand that. Well, that's the case with most signings.
He scored 22 goals this season. Like, in any other place, that's respectable, and with no service. They're not going to give, all of a sudden, unless Sanchez came into United, everyone said, oh my God, best player in the league. It's going to change. You're going to score a lot of goals. Hasn't done shit.
And to be fair to Lukaku, he's quite self-aware. He came out today and said that he won't get the respect he thinks he deserves until United actually wins something. And I think that's probably true.
That's fair.
Speaking of United players, friend of the pod, Raul Carvajal. Question. UK media are linking Martial to Real Madrid. Baseless or not, can you discuss his form, his playing time, and overall situation at United? More importantly, do you agree with me that he looks like a young Dr. Dre?
Let's tackle that one first.
Yeah.
Bernie, please.
He looks like a young Dr.
Dre. He does, yeah. Right.
Well, he has the attitude of a young Dr. Dre. He has that. I saw the best meme ever. Like, I was literally on the floor.
The one looks like he owes you money?
He's like, yeah, he's like, Martial always looks like he just saw you and you always owe him money. Like, just looking at you, like, you know, it's like, hey, man. It's hilarious, but
Should he play with headphones?
he should.
Yeah.
Beats.
It's a very good question by Rahul. I mean, it's tough to answer because, I mean, we saw him under Louis van Gaal, and under Louis van Gaal, his development was accelerated. I think he was an integral part of that team,
right,
and he did fantastic.
Well, that happens when van Gaal kind of takes off his shorts in the dressing room.
Sure, whatever you like. But under Mourinho, his playing time has been limited. He's been out of position, and I think his development has been stunted. So we've seen one side of Martial where it's like, okay, we can see where this product is going.
Right.
And we've seen the other half where it doesn't
look
like...
What is his ceiling?
He's in the right spot.
Let me just say... On the Van Gaal thing is absolutely correct. He was playing through the middle most of the time, which way he wants to play. But then again, last season was rough. This season, he's been great. This season, his goals per minute and all that jazz and assist numbers have been fantastic. And his dribbling has actually improved, which is unbelievable. I before the Chelsea match, I said to a bunch of friends, we don't deserve Martial. If we actually sold him, I would be okay because I feel more... feelings from Martial than I do from Manchester United almost.
Like, so he deserves more.
He deserves it because he's that good. His ceiling, he could be as good as Kylian Mbappe when their careers are over. So if he goes Real Madrid, he will only become
You had to keep only one of Rashford and Martial for the next 10 years, who would it be?
Martial. Oh, obviously Martial. But I want to add just one more point on Martial. A move to Real Madrid this early in his career might be damaging for him.
Yeah, I don't think this is a particularly serious rumor. I can't see this happening.
I only hope not because I want to watch him play every week.
Plus, they have Vinicius.
Vinicius Jr. Absolutely. Oh, more about him later.
But I will add that Martial, if he really applies himself and makes the extra 10%, I think he can really make himself...
Just that professionalism a little bit.
Yeah, because, you know, he's raw talent, but he's still young. He's still 20.
I hate that. Sorry. I know, we're harping. But I hate that because Gary Neville came out and said the same thing. And this is this British xenophobia thing that I really hate. They keep praising Marcus Rashford. And they keep saying, oh, Martial needs to give us more. What are you talking about? Like, how can you... Rashford needs to give you 10 times more to get where Martial is.
Also, the fact is, if Rashford isn't playing and Martial is, which is the case and has been most of the season, that means that Martial is doing something better or working harder in training. Because Mourinho doesn't just play you.
Exactly.
I'm going to exact one of my theories here to that Rashford comment, because I know you guys are going to love it. But I think Rashford just looks like he's trying really hard, and that makes English fans particularly pleased.
It's like the Ozil.
Whereas Martial is clearly not trying as hard.
Well, Martial's face just always looks like he doesn't want to be there. But he's great. He's a great player.
Even if he's at a party, and it was the best party in the universe, he'd look the same.
Yeah, that is true. All right, let's do a quiz.
Alright, so welcome back to another episode of The Quiz, this time called the Chen Quiz Under.
Hey!
Under. Under the Roma player.
So we're going to get right into it. Rishay, why don't you let everyone know what your buzz-in is?
That was easy.
Alex and Mohamed. All right, you guys ready?
Yep.
Okay, first question. How many hat-tricks has Cristiano Ronaldo scored for Real Madrid?
That was easy.
44.
Wrong.
36.
Wrong.
26.
Hold on. Is it closest win? Or
One more for me.
Well, if it's the closest wins, then it's Rishay. But we're
43.
Nope, 49.
Oh, wow.
It would have been his 50th if he hadn't given the penalty to Karim Benzema.
What an idiot. Is that over his career or at Real Madrid?
Real Madrid. Oh. All right. So, second question. Name the Italian player from this career path. Chelsea, Swansea, Parma, Roma, Liverpool, Sunderland, Milan.
Okay, started at Chelsea?
Chelsea, Swansea.
Italian.
That probably was from a 16-year-old.
Fine.
But Chelsea, Swansea, Parma, Roma, Liverpool.
Barini.
Yes.
Wow.
All right, last question. It's a bit of a nostalgia question, okay?
Great. Aren't they all with Bernie?
Yes. Only one French team has ever won the European Cup or Champions League. Which team is that? I'll be impressed if you tell me the year and who they played in the final.
We gotta get the team first.
European Cup? Are you talking about a national team?
No.
Sorry,
is it Bordeaux?
Nope.
Oh, it's Marseille. It's 1992.
Yes, 1992.
Boom. Wasn't that when they were rigging everything?
Yes. Yeah, and they played Milan in the final.
Liverpool 4, West Ham 1, battered. West Ham got absolutely battered.
With some extra tartar sauce.
Who would have thunk it, given, you know, Uncle Zabaleta and Grandpa Evra on the wings here?
Oh man, we're playing against Mo Salah and Mane.
The fastest three in the league, and you put those old retirees.
Mane.
To be fair, Liverpool deserve a lot of love. They've been playing, I think, some of the most, if not the most, entertaining football in the league. Even slightly above City. I'd watch them above City.
Absolutely. The second half of the season at a table, they've played 9 and they're on top. 24 points in 9 games.
They've been very good. And their front three are just... I mean, you lose a player like Coutinho, and obviously, you can argue whether how good he is. But for the Liverpool side, he was crucial. He was a very good player. You lose him, and they don't feel it whatsoever. They have a midfield three that is so uncreative. Either a combination of Chan, Emre, Wijnaldum, Ox, Henderson, Milner. So really, it's the onus is really on the front three to make everything happen. And again, Mo Salah it's really down to Klopp too. He doesn't just hug the wing and go up and down, which is what we thought we would get when he kind of joined the league.
And Klopp does love a hug.
Yeah, he loves a cuddle. But he cuts in so much. He creates so many of these like striker-like runs. And Firmino's really good at holding up the play. He has more than 20 goals another season. He's also really, really stepped up. And Mane is slowly getting into it, you know?
Yeah.
Mane.
You hear what a few weeks ago Klopp said when he was talking about the three of them? He said, Firmino always world-class. Salah sometimes world-class. Mane sometimes world-class.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's one of those mind games he's playing with his own guys to get them to step up or something, but I thought that was very, very interesting that he specifically talked about Firmino always being at a certain level, which is, according to him, world-class.
Firmino facilitates what happens there. Firmino is absolutely crucial. You couldn't play with a more selfish striker and have the same...
Yeah.
Level of productivity from your wingers.
Mm. Which is why Sturridge would have never worked for them. And also, obviously, all the hype and the love is with Mo Salah right now, and, you know, deservedly so. But when you dive into a bit more of the Liverpool fans' world, which is a scary place.
dark place.
They absolutely love Firmino. It's a cult. Yeah. Like, it's insane how much, you know, Liverpool fans who watch every single minute of their team and really analyze the way we do United and we do Arsenal will sit there and talk about Firmino all day.
By the way, they probably also love him because you can see him a mile away. He just has to smile. And it's a beacon. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So in this game, I mean, it was so easy for them. Everything looked so simple. So there's so many missed chances. They could have easily doubled their score here.
Well, how was old Uncle Moyes in this game, Alex?
Well, he afterwards said that the front three caused West Ham problems. So I think he clearly identified what the issue was.
But 90 minutes too late.
Yeah.
But listen, was this at the pub eating fish and chips with the rest of the team before the game or
maybe.
After the game?
Yeah, yeah, gave them the day off too.
Yeah. But listen, they didn't stand a chance. Liverpool are unbeaten in 16 at Anfield. It is a fortress. It absolutely is a fortress. People don't go to Anfield and
especially
win.
The first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes where they sing You'll Never Be Alone.
Yeah, yeah.
That part, definitely.
Impenetrable.
Oh, crazy.
But the other thing is that David Moyes himself, his personal record is he's never won there.
Oh,
for
yeah.
any club.
It's a very long list of D's and L's.
Yeah.
See.
D's, L's.
D's, L's.
I can't even deal. Got him. But this, when I saw this quote today, this was the one thing that stood out on his whole page, Alex. And I'll tell you why.
Please.
You said Moyes has never won at Anfield. He never won anywhere. Actually, he's never won at Old Trafford. He's never won at Stamford Bridge.
Even with the United.
He's never done it.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
He did. What do you mean he never won at Old Trafford? He was Manchester United. Well,
even though he didn't win at Old Trafford.
Yeah, yeah. But those don't count as wins.
Someone made a tweet of his record away at all the stadiums. It is LLLDLLLDL.
As you said, all over the place.
But I'm really interested to see Liverpool in the Champions League because we know in the Premier League who cannot cope with them, and it's the lesser teams. They absolutely don't know how to do it. The only teams that do anything against Liverpool are the ones that sit very low, just block the game out, park the bus, and try and hit them on the counterattack, right? So I will be very interested to see them against an elite European team to see how that team goes about facing this threat.
Like a Napoli?
Napoli are just going to go toe-to-toe, and it'll be whoever... Well, Napoli aren't in the Champions League anymore, so that's out the window.
Not Europa League either.
Well, you said elite European team.
Sure, but in the Champions League.
Sure, okay.
Because Liverpool are in it.
And that would be a dream contest.
It would be phenomenal.
They beat Porto, what, 5-0 or something like that?
They smashed them.
Yeah, so away from home.
Yeah. But seeing, like, you know, I'm not sure Juventus are going to get through. That'll be tough, but... Seeing a Juventus or a Real Madrid or something against this Liverpool team would be fascinating.
Well, I think those teams would be very scared to play Liverpool.
Yeah.
And I think the analogy that comes to mind is Liverpool remind me of the Japanese kamikaze bombers in World War II. I think it is. They don't care about themselves. They just go in for the kill and they don't care what happens to themselves. It's actually fantastic to see.
That's fair.
Fantastic.
Except for the suicide part. But
Klopp had a fun quote. He was talking about Trent Alexander-Arnold, the right back. He said, "Trent is very offensive oriented, fantastic crosses, good footballer. He has this little bit of street kid. If you see his crosses, they are a little bit dirty."
Wow. I mean, the German accent doesn't help.
No.
Imagine him just purring over his crosses.
Anyone else
training.
Get aroused by that?
No, not a little bit.
I'll do it again for you later.
Yeah.
Did have another part of the press conference where someone went, "Is Mo Salah right now the best left foot in world football?" And he kind of went, "But let's not forget Lionel Messi." But yeah, sure.
That's kind of true.
Yeah, he's like, "Let's just not forget Messi." But other than that, yeah, sure, whatever you want.
By the way, let's let Omar know that we were very kind to Liverpool.
Yes, Omar is a staunch Liverpool supporter.
Also, just very quickly, we've given Oxlade-Chamberlain plenty of stick, but he had a very nice assist.
Ooh, did you see the determination for that assist? He never showed that determination out.
Yes, exactly. Oh my God. Passion. Wenger out. Grit. Spurs beat Crystal Palace 1-0. Very, very weird game this because it wasn't really Harry Kane's day until the 88th minute where he scored that goal, but it really wasn't working for him. Crystal Palace were doing well. Hudson was up for it, and you should see his face on the bench was hilarious.
I don't think they were doing well.
No.
Spurs missed like five absolutely glorious. I mean, Aurier literally missed an open goal. Kane missed
horrendous.
Two from the 6-yard box. Yeah. Aurier took three full foul throws, which has got to be a record.
Can I say that? The thing about Tottenham and Harry Kane and is unbelievable to me. And I've said the movement thing, forget that. This is, Aurier plays a ball over his head.
Yes.
That goes to Eriksen. Eriksen then one time on his left foot just lobs it over to Harry Kane. And Harry Kane should have scored, missed it. I just thought, how the hell do you know where he is?
Yeah.
Like, no one looked at anyone in that whole move.
Yeah.
I mean, Puck, again, how much you attribute to the manager, but Pochettino has been playing like a very well-oiled machine. You got Dembele, Eriksen, Dele Alli, Harry Kane. Dele Alli, again, with a signature dive, this game, fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
Why does he keep doing this?
Why not?
He's late.
Yeah, Dele Alli liked.
Why?
What? Because no one calls him out on it. And
that's
he's
not true.
English and everything's fine.
That's not true.
It's good.
Why he keeps doing it, I'm not sure, but it's not that.
I have a theory.
One, he doesn't get called out on
yes,
it.
Yes, he does.
Two, he's
no,
English.
He literally
Three,
does.
Three, his manager came out recently saying, yeah, there's nothing wrong with diving. The whole point of football is to cheat your opponent.
I think it's the manager part because... And to agree with Alex, Dele Alli is called out for being a see you next Tuesday
nope.
more
yes.
than any
yes,
other player.
If you don't think he is, then you're just not
jealous of
him. If you look at players in the Premier League who are, I'm talking about actually called see you next Tuesdays on Twitter, Dele Alli is
Twitter's
right
up
there.
I'm not talking about Twitter. I'm talking about Match of the Day. I'm talking about all these programs. I'm talking about news articles. I'm talking about written publications, Match of the Day, proper official.
I don't watch Match of the Day anymore.
Answer me this question. Forget Dele Alli.
Sure.
Wasn't there at the start of the season some kind of committee that is going to retrospectively look at dives and
bad always
players?
Yes.
No, but this is new. This season specifically put in. Forget
yes.
Dele Alli.
Yes.
How many dives have... Not once have they done it against Crystal Palace with Zaha. Who was it?
I don't know who was in charge.
No, it was Nias. Because he's like the unluckiest guy.
But wasn't
in the
that
world.
The wrong call anyway? Like it wasn't supposed to be.
It was also
punching,
I think, for
so
this. But I'm just thinking, why are
it
we
hasn't,
doing
it
more?
It hasn't been done. Because and the problem is, it's still, according to some people, very subjective. Like the one he did, or that I did against Rochdale or whatever. I think it was Rochdale. That actually wasn't a dive. Like, for once, I can say that wasn't a dive. Every
dives.
Other one he did was a dive.
There's enough dives in the Premier League, regardless of Alli. There's enough dives in the Premier League for them to have almost one a week, but they just don't seem to
I
be doing anything.
All right, well, this is my theory, and you can agree with it or not.
Probably
but
not.
I just think that this committee showed up, you know, they made the statement that they're going to come in at the start of the season, and then the first instance happened where they're like, okay, let's show them what we're about. This is a walk in the park. And they did that, and then they just all went on holiday afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Because they kind of did that.
That's a good theory.
I do believe... Sorry.
With West Brom.
Dealing in actual fact,
yeah.
I do believe that the theory, the reason why this happens is if the referee shows a yellow card to the player, then they go in and they say, all right, what's the extra ban that we're going to get? But if the referee doesn't actually do anything about it, they don't give anything.
I don't know if that's
which
true.
Which is
think,
the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
I think their job is to catch things that the referee doesn't catch.
I'm not sure that's how they're doing it.
But I mean, either
really
way,
sure.
They're not doing anything, so
yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I can't say this bothers me much.
While we're talking about Englishmen, I just want to point out that Roy Hodgson looks like he always needs a cup of tea.
He probably does.
Constantly.
I mean, he's got to stay awake. He's 70-odd, and he's got a Premier League team to run, so...
He's doing a good job, though. Yeah. Where's Crystal Palace? Oh, he's not.
But no, I mean, no, he is, but they're also still
they
nearly
started
relegated.
So low, though. They started without scoring a goal in, like, 11 games or
was
whatever.
Was it Hennessy that was in goal?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
He's awful.
Should have saved the Harry Kane.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But overall, this is a massive win for Tottenham. They're now above Chelsea by 2 points. No games in hand anywhere. So they're in fourth and Chelsea are in fifth.
I would say for the top five, every win now is massive because the competition for that fourth spot is huge.
Sorry,
it's
I
absolutely
had to see where
from
Arsenal
second to five.
Were here.
Arsenal not in the equation.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
You don't have enough data to scroll.
No. Anyway.
The printer ran out of ink.
Yeah.
Very quickly, for the rest of the league, all of whom are in contention for relegation still. Leicester 1, Stoke 1, Puel. Not enough to win today. We could have, but we could have also lost. So perhaps a draw is fair. That is how it works.
Standard.
That is how it works. They scored the same amount of goals. Also, Shaqiri's on fire for like 3 games.
Yeah, as usual. Quick fact, fun fact actually.
Is it?
Every team from 7th in the table downwards has a negative goal differential.
No,
that is good.
I mean, we talked about Burnley recently. Alex, Burnley are sitting in 7th and you said they haven't won in like 11 games.
They haven't won in 11 games. They've only dropped one position, I think, from 6th to 7th. Possibly not even. They've possibly just been in 7th the whole time.
Right.
How do you do that? How does no one overtake you? It's
well,
mental.
Like you said, the bottom something like 10, 12 teams are all, like 12 teams are all in relegation.
Bournemouth 2, Newcastle 2. Newcastle were 2-0 up. Bournemouth came back in the last minute.
Very good. Very
heartbreaking.
Good.
Brighton 4, Swansea 1. Houghton is doing an underrated job, I think.
He's never done a bad job anywhere he's gone.
I agree.
Wait, who?
Chris Houghton.
Chris Houghton.
Since when?
What do you mean?
Forever, ever.
No. Stop.
What?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
He's,
okay.
He's not
be
been Brighton manager for the whole
yes,
season.
No,
he
has.
He's been there for
he
like 3 years.
He brought them up, mate.
Okay, this is how irrelevant Brighton have been. I literally just realized who their manager is. Absolutely.
Okay, you think they're irrelevant.
27 games in.
You think they're irrelevant, but their centre-back, Lewis Dunk, has 4 own goals this season, and he's tied with Martin Skrtel for the most.
How many blocks?
Is he tied with Richard Dunn?
He's tied with Martin Skrtel.
Is that not Richard Dunn?
For in a season. Oh, Richard Dunn is over the course of a career.
All time. Yeah. Burnley 1, Southampton 1. Burnley. Oh, we've done this already, right? Yeah. They haven't won in
forever.
West Brom 1, Huddersfield 2. 3 wins in 37 games for West Brom.
What's his name?
Pardew.
Pardew hasn't won he's won 6 times out of 50, last 53.
Yeah.
Or something. It's an absolutely insane stat.
Well, that's why it was nuts to give him the job in the first place.
He came out with a quote saying that he's reached into his bag and pulled out everything from his repertoire, except for a few things that he's still going to try.
Yeah, like 3 points.
he also, when he was asked about whether the West Brom fans should, how they should think about, Barry and Evans and the guys that drove the cab in Barcelona.
Yeah.
And he said, God teaches us to forgive. Maybe you can look upon them like your youngest children who've done something naughty. What is wrong with you?
Yeah. I mean, can anyone blame them for trying to run away?
Can I say, this Johnny Evans, right, who for United under Fergie went on a Boxing Day bender and got dropped for the next game because of it, with Rooney, of course. And he's done this now. But apparently he's going to be available for $3 million if they get relegated.
He's also captain.
That's his poor business on every front.
So here's my question, right? Yeah. West Brom, Bernie, you love a fire sale. West Brom go down. They've actually got some players. Who would you take?
I'd have Johnny Evans.
Yeah, I think
I'd have him back.
Right.
I want nothing. Why not? He's better than Chris Smalling.
I don't know.
Where's Chadley?
He's injured.
Don't know if Johnny Evans is better than Chris Smalling. Johnny Evans was going to go to Manchester City. That's all I can say about that.
Okay, who else is it? Who else? Who are candidates to pluck?
No
Higazi. I want Higazi, Elneny, and then Mo Salah.
Any room for Rondon?
Get all the Egyptians into Arsenal.
There's one more guy. There's one more.
Rondon, J. Rodriguez.
I got it. I'm thinking Berahino. Is he at West Brom?
He hasn't scored a goal in 2 years.
I'm taking him.
Calendar years.
We need to replace Ox's banter.
He's also at Stoke.
While we're on appearances, J. Rodriguez looks like a surfer bum.
What?
He looks like a surfer bum.
A surfer
bum?
Well, Rashid grew up in California. Where did you grow up?
Yeah, just imagine him in a wetsuit with a surfboard and he's riding it right
it's
home.
The shaggy hair, isn't it?
It's the beard and the shaggy hair.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Watford 1, Everton 0. Big Sam, they had someone who could finish. We didn't, he said, with Sigurdsson, Walcott, Nias, Rooney, Cech, Tosun. What do you mean?
Twat?
Twat
Sam? He is Twat Sam.
Hold on. With Walcott and Rooney, that's 400 goals between them.
Yeah.
And you're telling me you have no one who can finish?
He just spent $27 million on the best striker in Turkey, which doesn't necessarily make him good, but you know.
To be fair, I don't know why Everton are like this, because in Sigurdsson, they literally have one of the best midfielders in the league outside of the top 6. He might be the best midfielder. He's insanely good.
Yeah.
I mean, they have good players. It's just...
What I love about this,
Big Sam.
I mean, it's all set up, right? So they tried to get Marco Silva, they couldn't. Ruined his life. Got Big Sam. Everyone hates Big Sam. The fans absolutely cannot stand him.
I hate
Marco
Big
Silva
Sam.
Then got sacked. Big Sam's going to get sacked. Marco Silva will eventually get the job.
Yes,
everyone's happy.
They planned it this way.
He's going to get Sam. He's going to get it for sure.
Moomoos.
Yeah, let's do a bit more moomoos.
Yep.
Happy Momo. One thing we are no sha, Momo no fit sleep forever. One day Momo go wake up.
So Momo of the week this week is going to South America.
Hey,
we'll start in Uruguay. Funny enough, there's another team in Uruguay called River Plate. Oh, thank you, Randy.
Sorry, man.
Oh, that's not for me?
I was doing a clave. What were you doing?
Same thing.
Okay. What's a clave?
I don't know.
Okay.
Si, claro.
So, your River Plate in Uruguay, or Uruguay, we're playing in the Copa...
How many River Plates are there in South America?
A lot of them. There's also Arsenal in the Argentina.
Oh, I know that, but
there might be a Liverpool as well.
Actually, there might be. There's also an Arsenal in another league. Anyway, sorry, keep going.
Yeah, there's only one Man United. Yeah. In the Copa Libertadores, River Plate Uruguay, we're playing against a team whose name I can't find quickly on this screen here.
Okay.
But a fight ensued, and the player's
obviously.
Name... it actually says here that fights happen all the time in this article.
Yes.
South America are known to produce some crazy matches, guys. That's what it says here. And a player by the name of Preciado started a fight with the opposition, and then didn't know what to do when 8 other opposition players surrounded him and were about to beat his ass.
Where was their teammates?
They were. I think they showed up later.
They were tired of Preciado starting fights every game. They're like, this one's on you, mate.
You know what Preciado means in Spanish?
What?
Valued.
No, he wasn't valued at all.
No.
By the way, the opposition was Ecuador's Independiente del Valle. So another repetitive.
No offense to South America, but a lot of their team names, let's say, aren't in touch with the reality. Independiente, Copa Libertadores. I don't know how much Independiente and Libertadores are there in South America.
You want to go there?
I'm just saying.
Okay.
They got rid of their colonial oppressors.
And their dictators, I guess.
Wakanda.
Wow. Okay.
Let's get back to the football.
I was gonna get there with this segment because we're not at the Mumu part yet.
Of course.
So in trying to defend himself, Preciado goes to the corner flag and picks it up and starts waving it around like a weapon.
Wow.
And in a spear like throwing motion, as if he just watched Black Panda and Black Panther.
Kung Fu Black Panda. Yes.
On that note. Yeah, so they're looking at suspensions for everybody.
It's like this team does not exist for the rest of the season.
You know, like last weekend we had a game with 9 red cards.
In the Brazilian league, I think?
Yeah. Oh, that is my Mumu.
Oh,
I'm getting into it now.
Wait to steal his thunder.
Yeah. No, it's a good link.
Black Panda.
I'm just going to read you the report because it's short and it's brilliant. So, Brazilian footballers are traditionally known for their skill on the ball, but there wasn't much on show in the Bahia State Championship between Vitória and Bahia. After a feisty first half featuring 6 bookings and Danielson's goal for the hosts, things really got out of hand.
That Danielson?
Probably.
No. There's a million Danielsons.
Yeah, but...
The one with those dodgy ankles?
This one's number 95, so... Yeah. Bahia were awarded a penalty in the 50th minute, and chaos ensued when Vinicius Jr., Real Madrid.
45 million Vinicius Jr.
celebrated scoring it by dancing in front of the home supporters. Both sets of players piled in, punches were thrown, and after a delay of 16 minutes to restore order, the referee sent off 8 players. 3 red cards were shown to Vitória players and 5 to Bahia players, with Vinicius and 3 substitutes among those dismissed. The match continued, but when Vitória had a further 2 players dismissed 11 minutes from time, it was abandoned, with Bahia likely to be awarded a 3-0 victory. What the report doesn't say is that those last 2 dismissals were completely deliberate because they wanted the match to be abandoned.
All right, the manager's like, let's go.
Yeah. Mm. Unbelievable.
That would have been fun to be there at the stadium for that.
By the way,
I did see the booking for the last one, and it was like a free kick that was awarded, and the player at the very last minute just kicked the ball before he could take it. And the referee just looks at him like, why'd you do that?
Like Zaire style? Remember the video of the Zaire players against Brazil?
Oh, yeah. Since we're still on South America, and Luis Suarez this weekend actually tried to get himself sent off.
Yep.
So again. That he would get a yellow card so he would miss the next game because the game after that is Madrid or something.
Atleti.
And the ref kept looking at him and said, I'm not giving you a...
Good stuff.
That's good.
Mumu. One thing we all know, sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
So, to Europe we go. From South America. We're all over the world in this pod. I mean, I don't know what more people want.
Global.
305, Mr. International.
And Pitbull.
If anything, they might just want more focus.
That's true.
But
that's true.
We're not going to give it to them.
No, we're not, because we're going straight to Milan. Rome.
Nice.
Which is the capital of Italy.
It is.
Yeah.
It snowed there today.
Yes.
People always think it's Milan. I thought it was Milan for the longest time when I was like 12.
Which American brand is this?
Good question. Good question.
By the way, sorry.
I don't have American friends.
This reminded me of something. Martin Keown, before the Everton-Watford game, said that Everton would win because it's cold, and Watford they have too many foreigners who don't understand how to play in the cold.
Oh,
half of them were born in like the north of France, Switzerland, Austria, Finland.
Even if
they've been in colder places than where Martin Keown, colder in the north of England.
It's 2018?
Yeah.
And we still talk about like how players are affected by the cold?
Yeah.
All right.
Global warming. Do you reckon
back in Brazil, where Richarlison was like killing it, do you reckon they were sitting there in the favela going, yeah, but I don't think he's going to work at Watford because I'll have to go play in the north? No.
North of England, mate.
Anyway, back to Rome.
Yes.
Back to Rome, where Shay's not allowed in this thing because of his face.
And the way I eat pizza.
Yeah, that's a disgrace. I was offended.
Yeah.
Milan beat Roma 2-0 away from home, which is a very impressive run of result to cap a very impressive run of results for Gattuso as the newly appointed, well, it's been 6 or 7 games or whatever it has been. He's on a 6-game unbeaten run.
Can I put it into a longer context?
Please.
Since losing to Atalanta on December 23rd, Milan have won 8, drawn 3, and haven't conceded a goal in their last 5 league games.
And this is the team that Arsenal fans on Twitter going, oh, easy yeah. stuff. We're yeah. going to demolish them in the Europa League.
Which one? Was it you two?
Yeah, obviously. No, Milan are on form. And Gattuso, like, I've said it before, but like, everyone took the piss out of this appointment. And rightly so, because there was no sure. reason to believe this
like
would
Roy
work.
Hodgson.
Yeah.
Also, his first few games were pretty dire.
That is the only time he will ever be compared to Roy Hodgson. But yes, like, he's doing an incredible job. And who knows whether it will last? It probably won't. Long term,
right.
But this season he's really got them playing well. They're playing very basic, like sensible football, and it's working.
Also, your Arsenal fans do know that the Europa League is literally all they care about. I don't know right. if I don't think you guys actually care about it, but they really do because yeah. they're going extinct if they don't win it.
here's another stat for you: Milan hasn't won away at Rome since 2011. That is a long time.
Long time. And that, like in those days, it was like Zlatan and Thiago Silva.
It's interesting to think that you can spend all that money, but Cutrone and Calabria,
yep.
homegrown players, are the ones that are going to score the goals in a game like that.
Allegedly, Montella gets a bit of credit because Cutrone. Cutrone was supposed to go on loan. And Montella said, no, we need to keep him here.
Yeah, well, but he landed on his feet, though, Montella.
Well, he did, although, we'll get to him in the Spanish section.
Oh.
Well, he got a job at Sevilla, but I think he's going to get sacked there as well. I think he might be.
Yeah.
I think he might be getting sacked twice this season.
Actually, Montella. I did watch this game, and both teams are well in it, but right after halftime, Milan got that first goal. I think it was a good finish, but it was really
that little back heel tip.
Yeah. It was just that one goal. It's a bad goal to concede.
Yes.
And Roma dropped after that.
Yeah. Also, Roma's keeper has been having a fantastic season. Alisson has been killing it. He's been linked with Liverpool.
Yeah.
Well, basically, like, I mean, for that goal, I mean, you're right. It was a bad goal to concede. Manolas gets a lot of credit, but we said it when we saw him play in Rome. He's not that good.
No.
He just isn't that good.
No.
He's strong, he's quick, but that's it. The intelligence is not really there. But
Bernie has something to say.
No, please.
Me and Alex scouted the hell out of that game.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I was just comparing him to Mustafi in my head.
Oh, me too.
Trust me,
that reel is going on.
There was obviously the Juve-Atalanta game that was cancelled due to snow.
Snow joke.
Was there a Napoli game?
Yeah, Napoli beat Cagliari 5-0, but that was today.
Beautiful.
Smashed them. Check out the highlights. The football is, as usual, wizardry.
So Napoli are 4 points ahead with Juve game in hand?
Mohamed's wearing a light blue shirt.
Yes.
For Napoli.
Yeah.
Bernie's wearing a shade of blue. Alex has some blue there.
I have
some blue here.
You have Juventus black and white.
No, there's blue here.
Okay.
I don't know, man. Looks
sure.
a bit like
I'm
a
blue.
Very nice. So Napoli are 4 points clear. Juve have a game in hand.
Hopefully they lose it.
Lazio.
Lazio beat Sassuolo 3-0 away. Milenkovic Savic got two. Immobile got one.
Still top of the league. In goal scoring.
He has a goal every 84.5 minutes, which is apparently the best strike rate.
Immobile?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Best strike rate in the top five leagues. So, good for him.
He is third in the European Golden Shoe race behind...
If I had to identify Immobile or Insigne... Right?
Yeah.
And a police station.
You wouldn't be able to...
Exactly.
That's who robbed me.
More shocking because...
Immobile is blonde.
And taller. Because it is a tiny guy.
I see what you mean.
Savage, rumors this week are that he's the subject of a £120 million bid from either Man United, Man City, Bayern Munich. One of those.
No, United need him to free up Pogba.
No. They need to free up Matic to free up
Pogba. Okay.
Don't get it wrong, Alex.
Who's going to free up Alexis?
That's a good question.
Hunter. Or Humber.
Circus clown.
Humber and Atom. Is that it for Italy?
No. So that win puts Lazio third. Inter Milan, who have been on horrendous form, really struggled to beat Roche's favourite team, Benevento.
And this is a real shame for the entire universe. Because, you know, I really think that Inter Milan did a bad one here. They should have just let Benevento win this game.
They nearly did.
Even doing in the league?
Yeah.
That's a reasonable question.
Really?
I saw someone... No, never mind.
Right.
No, I was going to tell you something, but I can't remember the details.
Something about an Inter shirt or something you saw on the subway? No.
We used to know a guy who was an Inter Milan fan in university.
Who? Did we?
Who ever wonder what happened to him?
Did we?
Yeah, we did. He was on the Chestnut soccer team.
Matthew.
Yeah, Matthew.
Oh, yeah. The heydays.
True.
Is he still an Inter Milan fan?
No, I don't know.
Well, if he was then, he is now.
Yeah, maybe. All right, that'll do for Italy. So, Napoli top on 69, Juve 65, Lazio 52.
Oh, 69, yeah, because this is what you have on the paper is old.
Inter 51, Roma 50.
I expect more.
Sampdoria and Milan tied on 44 points.
You're not allowed to contribute for the rest of the pod.
Spain. Off you go, lads.
Yeah, we travel to Spain. Valencia beat Sociedad 2-1.
Mohamed, how's that lemon you're eating?
I love it.
It's making you pretty bitter.
I laugh because he licked it in his seductive way in front of my face.
And now he's dropped it.
I dropped it because they all looked into it.
Yeah, but what happens when life gives you lemons?
You make lemonade.
Mohamed, just choose it during podcasting.
Okay, so that was Valencia 2, Sociedad 1. Sevilla lost to Atleti 5-2. Atleti scored five goals versus Sevilla away, which United failed get a shot on target.
That's a vital point he brings up. But also, Atletico don't score. And I've said this on previous pods. I might have even said it every week of my life for the last 52 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. Okay? But Atletico don't score goals. They don't concede goals. They don't do anything. They just show up on a field and they do nothing.
They win games.
They were up 5-0 in this game away from home to Sevilla. And they actually scored some decent goals.
Costa's killing it.
Sevilla played like they were hit in the head with a lamp.
Right. They certainly did get hit with a lamp.
They really did.
Yeah, they did. No, I agree.
Like my lamppost called Diego Costa.
Yes, Costa was fantastic.
Also, Griezmann's hat trick with the second goal. The first one he scored, which was a beautiful goal with his right foot.
Oh, it was gorgeous. It's almost like past two.
I mean, he did. It was beautiful as you described. But it was almost like he switched off ever since he committed his future and his heart and soul to Atletico for one more season. And now he showed up in this game and said, you know what, I'm going to play for a little transfer at the end of the season before the World Cup.
No, I think he's been getting back into it.
He's going to Barcelona 100%.
Yeah, I think it's probably true.
Guys, 100%.
100%.
According to... Take that to your grave.
Okay? I'm putting $30 on it right now.
Right now, mate.
What was we're going to be statement? Rich. This team isn't coming back.
Oh,
they didn't!
Madrid were losing 2-0 at some point recently, a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And Brady went, this team will not come back. 4-2, end of the game, Madrid win. Anyways, moving on.
I'm getting wrecked for this.
One second. I have a quick question for you. I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but let's ask it anyway.
Alex has to see you next Tuesday in his eyes.
Right? Wow. Barcelona are on 65 points.
Okay.
Atletico Madrid are on 58.
Mm-hmm.
They each have a game in midweek. Let's assume they both win.
Mm-hmm.
Next weekend, Atletico go to the Camp Nou.
Yeah.
If they win, is the title race back on?
What's the point difference if they win?
If they win...
Yes, because they need viewership. It's a conspiracy. All the referees have already been
paid off.
If they
win, 4 points.
Yeah, because Barcelona haven't been that good. They really... I mean, their scores might suggest otherwise, but they haven't been that
Isn't
good.
Isn't there still one more Clásico?
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. Shakalaka.
Well, that is a good point.
It's driving me insane.
Is the title race back on, buddy?
No!
4 points.
Why?
Barcelona have not lost yet, right?
Yes.
And you're telling me that now you were expecting a capitulation?
No, they haven't lost. No, they haven't. Not in the league. But if they lose to Atleti, he did something where he said... He preordained. This is based on the fact that Atleti would win the
predicated.
Game.
Predicated. It's predicated on them beating.
No.
Preempted.
It was a predilection.
Yes. Anyways.
Anyone with pre.
Yeah.
Is the title race back on?
Yes, of course. 4 points you have to say it is because they still play Madrid.
Okay,
so the 4 points is
in the context of is 4 points a title race? Sure. Fine, by that deductive logic, of course, but it's not going to happen.
But Barca haven't been that amazing that you can rule it out, is all I'm saying.
Let's give Atleti praise for even being in the shout at this point.
Sure. Atleti! They're in the shout.
Thank you.
Shout.
Madrid, speaking of brilliant, beat Alaves 4-0. This was a game, let's harp on Ronaldo a little bit, because you know I will get to Messi and everyone's going to like hate this. So let's talk about Ronaldo a little bit before we get there. Ronaldo had one of the best games I've seen him have in a long time. And this is because he had the captaincy, which I think invigorated him a bit to kind of get into the game and kind of show more of that leadership and get involved with his teammates. And I love seeing that. He was dropping down. He was playing kind of that link-up play with the rest of the team. He wasn't just being a target man, etc., etc. He gave his penalty to Benzema. He
gave credit to Benzema when he
for the
gave
assist.
Him the assist.
And I really, really enjoyed Cristiano's game, which I haven't in a while. And I have to say that it was fun.
Here's the question. I agree with you, it was nice to see. And your initial reaction is, oh, look at Ronaldo being nice. That's nice and magnanimous.
Mm-hmm.
does it mean that he's just been such a dick that
relatively
the bar is so low,
in a sense, yes,
that him even acknowledging someone giving him an assist makes you feel
tingly? Yes, but okay, he is the biggest asshole in world football, and I'm the biggest Ronaldo fan, so I'll tell you that the truth.
So
but
by association,
I'm an asshole.
Okay,
but the fact is, he acknowledges assists from people he likes all the time. And it's from people he likes. Marcelo?
Yeah.
Every pass he gets from Marcelo is acknowledged. Benzema has always been acknowledged. This is nothing new. It's Gareth Bale that gets no love whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in this, in a sense, I feel like there's a bigger message he's trying to give by praising Benzema, which is not about, I mean, firstly, he wants Benzema to stay because he loves him, because he helps him out. It's still about Ronaldo.
Yes.
Him praising Benzema has nothing to do with him being this magnanimous human being. It's, don't sell this guy that gives me the opportunity to do whatever I want.
In a sense, you.
Hey,
listen.
Common sense.
We there was rumors that just came out today that, from good sources in Germany, that Lewandowski has told Bayern that he wants to leave in the summer. I don't know how true they are, but if they do, I think Madrid should really be looking at him as quite a realistic target. They can afford him. He's going to be a very good player to replace Benzema. Has done really well to stay there for a decade or more or whatever it's been. But I just think they really need to start upgrading, especially with Bale possibly also leaving Madrid. Ronaldo isn't getting any younger. He would be a good sign.
By the way, that Ronaldo not getting younger thing, fact, but it's been two seasons in a row now where this first half of the season was worse than the first half of last season.
Yeah.
But the form he's showing now, it's a similar story with last season. Second half of the season, he was unplayable.
Yeah, well, you win the Ballon d'Or.
And he's starting to do it again. Scary.
You win the Ballon d'Or, you take 3 months off, and then you start again when the voting starts, which is January.
Yeah, well, he's very smart like that. But yeah, no, I don't think Lewandowski is going to be a good replacement for Benzema, because I just don't see him doing those kinds of assists like Benzema had. Like, Benzema had a really good assist last weekend. I think Lewandowski is more of a striker you need to feed, and he scores goals. I don't think he's like as much of a team player as Benzema is.
I think you're right. I think if you think about what Benzema brings to the team, and you think about who could replace him, a younger version of what he brings to the team, reference our discussion about Firmino earlier.
Yeah.
You put Firmino in that role, and you will get the best out of the two players that are surrounding him.
But right.
I'm saying that that's a realistic transfer.
But the
transfer,
Real Madrid
not,
situation is, and again, second half of season Ronaldo is unplayable. But long, is that what you want to do for the first, like, for an entire season? Is that really what you want to do? You only start to rebuild Real Madrid when you replace Cristiano. I'm not advocating that because, again, second half of the season, he is unplayable.
Sure.
But you can't bring Lewandowski and put Ronaldo on the same
team. There aren't a lot of football players right now. There just aren't. And think of strikers. Who could Madrid realistically buy? If Lewandowski becomes available, that should be an absolute madness.
I agree with you that they should
do it. Not enough players. Okay, they missed out on Lewandowski this season. Like, they missed out on Neymar and Mbappe. Who do they buy next? There aren't a lot of players. And I'm saying, if he's available, I truly believe, is the best striker in the world.
I
rate him that highly.
I agree, but the only counter I'll give you is, why not sign Sergio Aguero?
Or Mohamed Salah.
Well, Salah on the wing, think of it that way. But Sergio Aguero's goal record is comparable
to
Lewandowski's.
How old is he?
He's the same age as Lewandowski. Literally the same age with the same goal record. And that's a guy who can flit around the pitch and do more things in a Benzema style.
Teamwork.
If that's what you want.
He's a team player.
Why does Sergio Aguero never get recognized as that or in that conversation?
He's a Man City legend.
He's also an Atleti legend. I don't know if that has anything
so
to do with it.
So De Gea will
he won't care.
Yeah. Anyways, so Madrid played well after their really good result against the PSG in the Champions League at 3-1. Again, they always step up in the Champions League. And they'll play them soon, and Neymar might be out of that second leg, so that's pretty much game over.
I'm not sure. I don't know that obviously Neymar is brilliant, blah, blah, blah. But this might actually facilitate PSG playing as a team, as opposed to whatever the hell that was.
The Alexis
first time.
Sanchez.
Yeah.
It was also a harsh scoreline, 3-1 at the end. Because in the last 7 minutes, Madrid got two goals.
True.
Not like shite goals, really.
Right, I see what you mean.
Unaesthetically pleasing.
But that's what they do in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Like, Madrid don't blow you away. They just get that Ronaldo goal, like, off his knee, and all of a sudden we're through. You know?
Yeah,
but
all of a sudden the Ballon d'Or goes to Ronaldo.
Yes, exactly. Last but not least, Barcelona 6, Girona 1. Suarez is really, really, really hitting form this year.
My Girona really angered the beast.
Yes.
By scoring in the second minute in this game.
True. It's like, what a stupid thing. He should have missed.
How dare you?
They even set foot on the same pitch. Let alone score early on.
Here's a question for you, right? If you're playing for Girona,
mm-hmm.
and you score in the second minute against Barcelona or Real Madrid or Atleti or whatever, do you celebrate? Is there any point?
No.
Okay. So
I'm with you.
Take the ball and run back.
Yes.
And put it on the halfway line.
And on a completely hypothetical world,
right?
It's an achievement unlocked. If I was playing if I was playing FIFA right now, manager mode for Girona, and I was playing Barca, and I went up 1-0. That immediately after the goal is scored, you will see achievement unlocked.
Yes,
at least five achievements.
Congratulations! Here's 20 PS4 points.
You know what happened? If you're playing online with someone,
you disconnect.
And
yes. you screenshot.
Yeah.
And you go, mate, you suck. But Barcelona obviously stepped it up. Dembele, I think, started this game. Coutinho started it, so they played the two that they've never started them recently. And just, you know, still slowly getting back into it. Dembele from an injury. And to be fair, he hasn't had the best of seasons. Even this game.
Well, he's been injured for most of it.
Yeah, he played really bad this game. He just looked a level below everyone else around him. He still really needs to get into it. Coutinho, the same. Wasn't really at the level of Suarez and Messi, which is obviously hard to do. But he wasn't showing the level that... he showed at Liverpool. Great goal though, that, you know, that Coutinho. When you don't say Coutinho goal and say it's that Coutinho goal, you know it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, back to Suarez, he's been phenomenal in 2018. He had that really rough patch at the start of the season, going like 8 games without a goal or whatever it
depression,
is.
Yeah.
Wasn't he injured or like,
no, he was really bad. He was just really bad. And Messi again, I mean, you see the compilation of him from this game, playing deep, those through passes over the top, through the lines. The brilliant free kick under the wall, getting past 3 players in the box, in the 6-yard box, telephone box kind of stuff, putting it in the box. Like, he's just, he's fantastic. And, you know, it's just, I'm just lucky to be able to watch him.
He's only the second best left footer in the world.
That's true. And Madrid are about to sign the best one, so.
Does Martin Keown think that Messi could do it?
Martin
Keown probably voted for Brexit, so I don't think he can do anything.
Fair.
We're forgetting about Graham Lasso and all of this.
What's wrong with Graham Lasso?
Best left foot.
Oh yeah, he's up there.
Who's that Newcastle player, the French dude? Laurent Robert.
Lizarazu.
Oh, Lizarazu. So we should run a poll: best left foot in history, Messi, Robert, or Graham Lasso.
Yeah, that's hard though.
That's a tough one.
Rivaldo.
Can we get an Arsenal left footer just so we can see what Arsenal online looks like?
Clichy will win that. Clichy will literally win that poll.
Podolski had a left foot.
Yeah.
Alright, speaking of fun things to end on, Lukaku came out this week and basically said, you know, was it the NBA have an all-star game?
Yeah.
North American sports have all-star games. Why couldn't the Premier League have an all-star game? And he suggested North versus South. So, why don't we put the teams together?
Sure.
North, you've got Liverpool, United, City, basically it. Newcastle, if you wanted John Joe in the middle.
Sure.
South, Chelsea, you know.
Okay.
Are we actually doing this?
Everton.
Yeah, let's
do it. Okay, so goalkeeper's De Gea.
Yep.
Fine. The
4-3-3.
Right back is Walker, I'm assuming.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to be Man City, isn't it?
Pretty much. That's a problem. Like,
centre back.
Okay. Otamendi. This is great radio.
Phil Jones.
Okay, fine.
Those are the best defenses.
I don't know what you're talking about.
City and United, best defense in the
match.
Both 20 goals.
Matic, not defender.
Matic.
Defender.
Yeah, center back. Matip.
What? Don't be ridiculous.
Okay, fine. Otamendi and like...
Fine, Otamendi and Bailly has to be in this team.
How? Bailly has barely played.
I'm fine with Bailly.
We're talking about this season or...
This
like, last
season.
It's
an all-star of 2018.
It might
all-star
have to be
game.
Smalling, unfortunately.
No, actually...
It'll be Phil Jones.
Okay.
It'll be Phil Jones.
Otamendi and Van Dijk. Khalas?
No, Phil Jones.
What does Van Dijk do?
Doesn't matter. He's a very good centre-back.
No, it's definitely not Van Dijk. We're putting him in there for the price tag.
All right, Jones.
Fine,
Jones. Who's left back?
Mendy.
Or is it Zinchenko? What's his name?
Zinchenko?
No. I put Robertson. I think he's had a great game.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
with that.
Fine.
Are we just doing these 3 teams from the north? That's so unfair. Like,
no,
we'll
you
we'll
can do whatever you
I
like.
I just don't know who they are in the north.
Keep going.
What do you mean?
Like, who else is in the north?
Keep going.
Okay, Kim Jong-un.
Fernandinho.
Yeah,
Fernandinho. Matic.
Matic is not in
Kevin
the
north.
KDB, Silva.
Yep.
Sorry, these are your center three. What is
Sané.
What do you want? Pogba?
I'm trying to help you someone else in the northeast, man. Like Sigurdsson or something.
No.
Just man. To spice
and
it
then
up.
Money got Aguero.
Kane.
Kane's in the south.
Aguero, and then you have who from United has been good?
Nope. Lingard, to be fair.
Lingard, actually. I will put Lingard on this team. He has been fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow. We need one more player on the left side. No, he hasn't played in a while. Anybody better? Yeah, but anybody?
Well, then Martial's coming.
Sterling.
No, not Martial.
Why not?
Salah!
Yeah.
And Firmino.
Whoa.
No, Firmino over Lingard.
Firmino
Sorry,
over
Aguero. Yeah, 100%, yeah.
Why not?
Because Lingard's not going to make this
okay,
team.
Okay, so, read out the 11.
De Gea, Walker, Otamendi, Jones, Robertson, Fernandinho, KDB, Silva, Firmino, Aguero, Salah. Love it.
That's a good
team.
All
right. Good team.
Next
South.
Team.
The South.
In goal is Courtois.
Petr Cech.
No.
Courtois.
Really?
Courtois or Lloris? Courtois, probably. Right?
Courtois. Alderweireld.
Not this season.
No, he's played.
No,
fantastic.
Not this season. What are you talking about?
Has he been injured like most of it?
He's been injured most of the season.
Well, Vertonghen has to be.
Vertonghen's definitely in there.
Has to be in there. Who's in the South?
Well, Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs.
I can have Azpilicueta in there.
Yep, 100%.
Johnny Evans. That's our two centre backs.
Where is Birmingham in the map?
Midlands.
South?
Midlands. Yeah, we're not. We all have a Midlands team.
No, sure. Birmingham. I mean,
guys, left back. Davies.
Yeah, probably.
Who's that
oh
guy
no,
for
Marcus Alonso. To be fair,
I think Davies.
Oh yeah, Marcus Alonso.
I'm good with Davies.
I don't know, guys. Okay. Davies is already on the sheet.
Okay.
We need a right back.
That is tough. Right back is tough this season.
Yeah. Because Trippier and Aurier literally switch.
Yeah, and you've got Bell. Who's right? I mean, you've
Bellerin,
got
Bellerin. I don't want to hear that.
Absolutely
name.
Not. Go Who's ahead. Right back for Watford? That Spanish bloke.
What about Burnley? They're seventh for Christ's sake.
I mean, they've got some good centre backs, Ben Mee and stuff.
But they're also in the north, so we missed out.
Okay, so
where's Leicester?
Mid.
Okay, pick between Ori and the other one.
Yeah,
Trippier.
No.
Trippier.
Okay,
Trippier
then.
Played that
yes,
much.
He has. He's played like more
Moses.
Than half the games. No.
Are we playing a wing back?
Fine.
Moses.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry.
Moses is lucky to get in
center
this team.
Mid made Dembele.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Dembele, yeah.
Eriksen.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Kante.
Kante.
Yes. Yeah,
that's your three.
That is a quality midfield.
That is a massively good three.
Kane.
Son?
No, hold on. Kane, yes.
Hazard.
Has Hazard been that good?
Hazard's been good.
He's been good? If Mohamed's
good enough, there's no one. If I'm saying that.
Statistically, Son has a much better
guys,
season.
If we don't get one Arsenal player in here, I'm about to.
Who are you putting?
I don't care.
We're not putting an Arsenal player in here.
I'm sorry, I can't.
No.
Arsenal have been absolutely trash. I can't do it.
I would allow you to put Ramsey in there because when fit, he's been brilliant.
Oh my God.
I can't do it.
Are you serious?
Ramsey made the team. Congratulations, everyone.
No
all right,
way.
So I'm not having an all-star game without an Arsenal player in it. I do not care how much I hate them right now. They're getting a player.
No way.
And I hate Ramsey.
At least
so
put Ozil in there instead of Ramsey.
There we go, mate. Love it.
That's what he was waiting for. You absolute bellend. You gave it to him.
All right, so we've got Courtois, Moses, Azpilicueta, Vertonghen, Davies, Dembele, Eriksen, Kante, Ozil, Kane and Hazard.
The North tonks the South team.
Obviously, because it's got Man City in
it. What is this, Game of
we
Thrones?
We struggle to even find defenders in the South.
It's true. Defenders of the South.
I think this has gone on far too long.
Yeah, but I love it. Now the game should... Wait, Lukaku didn't make his own suggestion.
You know, he's not
so
in
he's
going to
watch it on TV.
I mean, there has to be a bench, so...
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
All right, let's do the bench. No, I'm just kidding.
No. All right. Like all All-Star games, there's other competitions as well, so they can feature more
players.
That's
true, he can play like a three-point
like the dunk contest?
Strongest player.
Him and Hakan Fenwa.
TFC.
Hakan Fenwa, I forgot about that guy.
Yeah, where is he? The North and the South.
Yeah, he's Division 2.
He's in all the good lives.
Right, yeah. TFC. Start the season, home opener, Columbus Crew. Yeah.
Well, home opener in MLS.
In MLS, yes.
Yeah, it's actually the second leg. Just want to point that out.
No. Anyways, keep going.
Yeah, sorry. Tomorrow they have Colorado in the Champions League.
Tomorrow.
But on Saturday they start MLS, Columbus, Beamer Field, 1 o'clock.
Are we going to start going to these games or what?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I mean,
aren't we media now?
Yeah, we're media, mate.
What do you mean now? Well, the last 4 years.
Well, I mean, like, actually,
is
media
it,
passes.
We have passes now. I have pit side.
Oh, pit side.
Mate, I'm in the dressing room.
Mate.
Wow.
I'll snap
you. Smell
guys.
Like it.
Hey.
With that new shirt, he smells great.
That's true.
You can smell right. From here.
Roche, say goodbye.
No. We're not leaving.
Bernie,
we're
going to
be here forever.
Bye, and I will take Roche with
no.
me.
No.
Mahalo, say goodbye.
No. All right, see you guys later.
See you next week.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.